Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 3, The Birth of Lord Krishna, Text Number 27. Martyo Mrityo Vyala Pita Palayan Lokan Saravan Nirabhayam Nadya Gachat Twat padam jam prapya yadri chayadya. Shusta shete mrityo asmar apaiti. Martya. The living entities who are sure to die. Die. Mrityu vyala bita. Afraid of the serpent of death. Palayan. Running. As soon as the serpent is seen. Everyone runs away. Fearing immediate death. Lokan, to the different planets. Saravan, all. Nirabhayam, fearless. Na adya gachat, do not obtain. Twat pada abjam, of your lotus feet. Prapya, obtaining the shelter. Yadrichaya, by chance, by the mercy of your lordship and your representative. The spiritual master. Guru Kripa Krishna Kripa. Adya, presently. Susta, being undisturbed and mentally composed. Shete are sleeping. Rityu, death. Asmat, from these those persons. Apaiti, flees. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. No one in this material world has become free from the four principles of birth, death, old age, and disease, even by fleeing to various planets. But now that you have appeared, my Lord, death is fleeing in fear of you, and the living entities, having obtained shelter at your lotus feet, by your mercy, are sleeping in full mental peace. And that's the advantage of hearing the Bhagavatam, that even if you're tired and you fall asleep in class, you'll be sleeping in full mental peace. Good. Purport. There are different categories of living entities, but everyone is afraid of death. The highest aim of the karmis is to be promoted to the higher heavenly planets, where the duration of life is very long. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 8:17, Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Ahuryad Brahmano Vidu. One day of Brahma equals 1,000 yugas. And each yuga consists of 4,300,000 years. Similarly, Brahma has a night of 1,000 times 4,300,000 years. In this way, we may calculate Brahma's month and year. But even Brahma, who lives for millions and millions of years, Dwi Parada Kala, must also die. According to Vedic Shastra, the inhabitants of the higher planetary systems live for 10,000 years. And just as Brahma's day is calculated to equal 4,300,000,000 years of our years, one day in the higher planetary systems equals 6 of our months. Karmis therefore try to for promotion to the higher planetary systems, but this cannot free them from death. In this material world, everyone from Brahma to the insignificant ant must die. Therefore, this world is called Martyaloka. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 8:16, Abrahma Bhuvanal Loka Punarvartano Jana. As long as one is within this material world, either on Brahma Loka or in any other loka within this universe, one must undergo the Kala Chakra of one's life. One life after another, bhutva bhutva praliyate. But if one returns to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yadgyatva nanivartante, one need not re-enter the limits of time. Therefore, devotees who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord can sleep very peacefully with the assurance that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with this assurance from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4:9, Tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti. After giving up the present body, a devotee who has understood Krishna as he is need not return to this material world. The constitutional position for the living entity is eternity. Nahanyate hanyamane sharire nitya shasvito yam. Every living entity is eternal, but because of having fallen into this material world, one wanders within the universe, continually changing from one body to another. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Brahmande brahmate kon bhagavad jiva guru krishna prasade pai bhakti latibish. Everyone is wandering up and down within this universe, but one who is sufficiently fortunate comes in contact with Krishna consciousness by the mercy of the spiritual master, and takes to the path of devotional service. Then one is assured of eternal life, with no fear of death. When Krishna appears, everyone is freed from fear of death. Yet Devaki felt, we are still afraid of Kamsa, although you have appeared as our son. She was more or less bewildered as to why this should be, and she appealed to the Lord to free her and Vasudeva from this fear. In this connection, it may be noted that the moon is one of the heavenly planets. From the Vedic literature, we understand that one who goes to the moon receives a life with a duration of 10,000 years in which to enjoy the fruits of pious activities. If our so-called scientists are going to the moon, why should they come back here? We must conclude without a doubt that they have never gone to the moon. To go to the moon, one must have qualifications of pious activities. Then one may go there and live. If one has gone to the moon, why should he return to this planet, where life is of a very short duration? So the text again, no one in this material world has become free from the four principles of birth, death, old age, and disease, even by fleeing to various planets. But now that you have appeared, my Lord, death is fleeing in fear of you. And the living entities, having obtained shelter at your lotus feet, by your mercy are sleeping in full mental peace. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, at the end of the first canto, Maharaj Prakshit asked the question, what is the duty of a person who's about to die? Now, if you ask that question at a university or in most places, a school, they'll probably call the police and have you arrested as a terrorist, threatening to kill them. For one thing, they don't have the answer. And for the other thing, they're in denial that they're going to die. They don't think it's a very important question. But Pariksit Maharaj, he was about to die, and he thought it was extremely important. So Shukadeva Goswami said, Varyan esha te prashna krita lokita ripaha atmavat tamasam pumsam shrotivyadishu yakparaha. That this question is varyan. It's glorious. Not only the person who asked the question, but the person who hears the answer and the audience. The person who asks the question, the person who answers the question, and the entire audience are all benefited by this question. Now, Prabhupada claims, as Krishna claims, janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha tyaktvadeham panar janma naiti mam eti sorjana, that anyone who understands in truth tatvataha. Tatvataha means to be actually on the spiritual platform with Krishna and his eternal associates in the spiritual world. That's called tatvataha. Now, of course, it is not that one day to the next we're going to go from Maya to the spiritual world. Sometimes we think like that because I got initiated and I have my neck beads on. At the time of death, the Vaikuntha airplane will come and take me back. For no other reason that my spiritual master promised. No, Krishna says, tatvataha, one has to actually be absorbed in Krishna consciousness, but becoming absorbed in Krishna consciousness is a process. It takes training. And the Hare Krishna movement is meant to train people for eternal life. Without making progress towards eternal life, then we're wasting our time, and the movement is not successful if it does not bring people to eternal life. Which means the actual ability to hear what Krishna has to say. But to hear what Krishna has to say, we can only hear so much and accept it. Because we only, being conditioned by the material nature, we only have a limited range of experience. Therefore, the Bhagavatam generally talks about things which are beyond our experience. And therefore, although we don't want to argue about it because we want to be polite, but it's not that just by hearing about something beyond our experience, we automatically accept it. We just don't argue about it. Because we have nothing to argue with. On the other hand, unless we understand what's being said, then the whole meaning of the purport has no real relevance to us. The idea of this purport is to inspire us to take Krishna consciousness seriously so that we actually come to eternal life. Generally speaking, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto. First of all, we have to take hearing seriously. But that hearing should be explained in such a way as it's relevant to our lives. So what is the moon relevant to our lives? What is Brahma living for 411 trillion 40 billion years? How is that relevant to our lives? Well, that's what Prabhupada is explaining here, that first of all, we have to accept what's being said here. But we can't accept blindly. We can only, to a partial extent, accept. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Maya sakta manakparta yogam yunjan manashaya asamshayam samagramam yata gyasasi tashchino asamshayam samagramam. Without any doubt. So first of all, let us recognize that we have doubts. Now, it shouldn't be embarrassing that we have doubts. It's just honesty. How can we not have doubts? We don't even know who we are. If I said you were a blade of grass in Vrindavan, would you accept it? Probably you think, who is this person to tell me I'm a blade of grass? I don't want to be a blade of grass. This is ridiculous. How do I know he has any vision to see who I actually am? Well, then we ask you, all right, who are you? Well, I don't know either, actually. Could be a blade of grass, but you never know. So we don't even know who we are, what to speak of anything else. Still, Bhagavad Gita takes us step by step. At least we can get a broad outline of acceptance of what Bhagavad Gita says, that we're not this body, and that there's actually control behind the universe, and that control is being controlled by an intelligent person. So therefore, the idea that people live longer than we do is possible. The idea that there could be control behind there could be someone on the moon is possible. All these things, at least if we have the broad conception, we're eternal, we're spiritual, and there's an eternal supreme person, that Bhagavatam doesn't become completely unbelievable. But as far as meeting anyone from the moon, look at his birth certificate, says he's, 3 billion years old, and we say, wow. And you're so young. So that's not within our range of possibility. Therefore, in the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada writes that one lady was asking for a recommendation for the Bhagavad Gita, which Bhagavad Gita she could read. And Prabhupada said, there's no Bhagavad Gita. Out of the 600 or 700 Bhagavad Gitas translated into English, I can't recommend any of them because none of them actually believe Krishna is God. They take the spirit of the Bhagavad Gita and misinterpret it. In spite of the fact that great personalities like Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Sankaracharya, they accept Krishna as God. But then again, we don't accept it on the basis of Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya. We don't know them from our neighbor next door. And I don't know who the neighbor next door is. So this is not very convincing for most people. Unless you were brought up in a culture where Ramanujacharya, you were following his instructions, Madhvacharya, and you got some practical experience from following their instructions, then you could accept them as an authority. Because our Srila Prabhupada, he's giving us the essence of their instructions. So as much as we made advancement in devotional service, then this becomes believable. That on that sun, that moon planet, there are actually living entities living for vast amounts of time compared to our lives. It becomes closer to our, at least, understanding and maybe a little closer to our acceptance of it. And if we accept it, then we think, well, why should I, they're living so long, Brahmaloka, they're living even much longer, then why should I want to live eternally? Why should I spend my time trying to go to the moon planet when I can go to a planet where I can live forever? If my aim is to increase my duration of life, why not go to a place where I can live forever? Now, of course, Prabhupada, he sometimes makes statements about the moon that, for instance, here, logically speaking, if we accept the Vedic version, that's if we accept the Vedic version, not going into the details how did they get to the moon planet? They couldn't even, they put monkeys up in the orbit, the Russians did, and they all died. They got zapped by the Van Allen radiant belt, which is a huge belt of radiation. and you need a spaceship like 3 meters thick and made out of lead to be able to counteract this vast amount of radiation. So how is it that scientists in this paper-thin, relatively paper-thin craft go through the belt and they didn't even get a headache? As I saw in one Russian scientist who was ahead of their space program, said it was not possible for these so-called astronauts to go to the moon. He said, we sent people up just in low orbit, and they came back, they couldn't even walk for some time. They needed weeks to recover. And these people came back from the moon, and they were all fresh as a daisy. So there are so many discrepancies, but Prabhupada doesn't even bother going into that. He just says the Vedas say that these people live for a long time, so if they actually went to the moon and they got the opportunity to live for, say, 300,000 years, why would they come back here to die in a couple of years? So Prabhupada's premise is that the Vedas are true. And if the scientists were actually true, if what they were saying was true, then they would actually discover what the Vedas say. Now for us, that may not be so convincing, because we're not so much convinced of the Vedas. Therefore, Prabhupada goes through a whole in the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita, as I said. These great acharyas accept Krishna as God, and Krishna says he's God. You can read Bhagavad Gita and find out if Krishna is God only if you accept it in the spirit of submission. That submission is, at least theoretically, we accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Within our hearts, we have no direct experience of Krishna, except we have experience of Krishna. No one would be here unless we experience Krishna consciousness. No one's such a fool that they're going to spend 20 years chanting some mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare, waiting for another 20 years before they get their experience. No, we have to have some experience. But obviously no one's going to claim, yesterday in my dream Krishna came to me and he was dancing. And he introduced me to Srimati Radharani and all the other gopis, and they said, I'm going to become the world acharya soon, within a couple of years. No, we don't. Even if someone told us we had such an experience, as one devotee said, Krishna came to me last night and told me I'm going to be the acharya. And Jayadvaita Swami said, well, Krishna came to me last night and told me that this devotee is being bewildered by illusion, and he's never going to become an acharya. So who to believe? By the way, the devotee never became an acharya. So at least theoretically, we have to accept what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, and by using our intelligence, that my body's changing, but I'm not changing, then it doesn't become so difficult to accept what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, because it's a reality. In other words, to accept reality for one who's in illusion is quite a difficult endeavor. To accept illusion, we welcome illusion. Please come and give me illusion, cheat me, bewilder me, and we welcome it. But if someone tells us the truth, we take rotten tomatoes and we throw it at them. Get away. You're interfering with my illusion. I'm blissfully sleeping in the lap of Maya, and you're trying to wake me up, you rascal. So at least we have to have the attitude, theoretically, let me study Bhagavad Gita, and the attitude of theoretically accepting Krishna, what he says there, and then, not just we theoretically accept it, but then Krishna says, Tadvidi prani patena pari prashnena sevaya upadekshanti te gyanam gyani nas tatvadarshna. Try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him, the self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Therefore, we approach Bhagavad Gita, we approach devotional service, not blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Generally, most people, they approach spiritual life as a blind following. Even maybe some devotees do that. Someone says jump, and since we like jumping, the only question we ask is how high, not why. Blind following and absurd inquiries. We talk about where the jiva came from, so many different topics we have. Nothing about what practical service. Nothing about how it actually relates to our own personal devotional lives. We'll debate upon what they're doing in Brahmaloka for lunch, what they eat. It'd be a big controversy. But nothing about how we're going to eat. Therefore, one blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. One should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiry. In other words, our aim is to get a full experience of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness should be an experience, not just a theory. And it takes surrender, but surrender doesn't mean blind following or absurd inquiries. It means submission, service, inquiries, or submissions, inquiries, and service. And that's a step-by-step process. We're hearing about Krishna, and what are we hearing about? We're hearing about how to associate with devotees, how to associate with all living entities, including Krishna. If we don't become inspired to associate with the devotees in the loving exchanges, then what is our hearing? What is the value? I know everything and you know nothing. I'm a great devotee and you're useless. Touch my foot and maybe you'll get some experience. No, that's not the... We're trying to hear so we can relate to the devotees in such a way we become humble. We appreciate. First of all, humble means we appreciate how great Krishna is and how he's controlling everything. We may think he's controlling so many rascals, but at least we accept that everything's going on by Krishna's arrangement. That's called humility. That even the person who's torturing me, like Bhumi the cow, she didn't want to say who was responsible for her problem, being beaten, because ultimately she understood Krishna's behind everything. Now, she didn't appreciate the Kali. She didn't appreciate being beaten, but she was humble. She understood Krishna's behind everything, and I can't really complain because of that. Something's going on beyond my conception. So that's called humility. Seeing everything as coming from Krishna, not as a result of my personal endeavor or my previous good karma or whatever. It's all coming from Krishna. Then one could become tolerant of all the people we are normally not tolerant of. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami says that in association of devotees, the minimum our consciousness should go down to is respecting within the mind. There's no other thing, anything below respecting within the mind. Then we can actually appreciate. We can endeavor to find the things that we should appreciate, that we should respect, that we should cooperate with, that we should honor. Then, amanina madhudena kirtine eksadari. Then we can make further progress. If we don't love the devotees, if we don't feel we belong to a society of devotees, then we have to belong to something. And therefore, we won't be able to utilize our resources, our energies fully in the service of that society, in that mission of the society, because we don't really feel like we belong to it. It's not our family. Previously, people used to sacrifice for their family, their wealth, their influence, whatever they had, they sacrificed for their family. Now people don't have any family. Therefore, they don't really feel like sacrificing for anyone except for their senses. That's near to and dear to them. So therefore, we develop family and association of devotees. Then the next step is that we'll make some commitment to the family and we'll be able to utilize our resources to develop spiritual habits, engage our energies in Krishna service, our body, mind, words in Krishna service, and in that family, to develop that family. And therefore we'll actually become disciplined, spiritually disciplined. And unless one is convinced I should become part of a spiritual family, then initiation really has really little meaning. Because what are we actually committing to? Some small family or smaller family, and then the rest of the devotees we think they're distant cousins or something. We have no feeling towards them. Therefore, for one part of the family, we're respectful. We're trying to be respectful, although even amongst the siblings in the spiritual family, we like to fight. And for the rest, they're not so important as my family. And therefore, the universal family which we're trying to enter into is just blocked by our limited conception of family, spiritual family. Then if one can actually come and dedicate his energies to that family, spiritual family, then one will become inspired for service. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if we go through the humility and tolerance and appreciation and get using our energies, dhanam, janam, sundarim, kaivitam, vajagadisha, using everything in Krishna's service, then ayinandana tununja kinkaram. Then we'll be inspired for using our energy in service as a little atom of Krishna's lotus feet. Not as a big devotee. As one devotee asked Prabhupada, how can I become a big devotee? And Prabhupada said, don't try and become a big devotee, try and become a devotee. An atom of Krishna's lotus feet. Then we can begin to really experience what Krishna consciousness is all about. Feeling separation from Krishna. Even desiring to feel separation from Krishna. And what to speak of actually entering into the mood of pure devotion to Krishna. So there's a process that's available to us. We have to understand it and then live according to it. We can just do our service and whatever, but unless we go a little deeper than just, of course it's very nice to do regulated service, that's certainly stable service is desirable, but we have to go a little bit deeper in understanding what we're trying to accomplish also, what the goal is and how to accomplish it. So, whether we accept that they went to the moon or not, or accept Prabhupada's logic, but at least theoretically, we have to try to understand what Prabhupada is trying to convince of us, of that there is eternal life and we can achieve it. Not through the scientific method, not through this modern propaganda of what life is, but actually through following the Vedas. One can even go to the higher planetary systems, or one can go to the spiritual world if one wants. But we have to accept that it's possible that there are higher planets with longer duration of life, and there's the spiritual world with eternal life, and we have to take to the process to experience in this lifetime Krishna consciousness, and then all these other things will be accepted and appreciated, although we may not have direct experience of them. But we'll accept the authority of the Vedas, we'll accept Prabhupada's instructions. His purports will accept Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita, Shukadeva Goswami, because it'll become an experience. Krishna consciousness will become an experience, and therefore the things even beyond our experience we'll be able to appreciate more. And finally, even after doing service, we should take up the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and understand what all this service is about, to bring ourselves and everyone back to the spiritual world, to eternal life, full of bliss and knowledge. So we have to take up that missionary spirit, that burning desire to help other living entities, the same desire that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has. And if we take up that desire, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will give us all his mercy, his complete association, and then we'll get the complete experience of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, if we simply take up Krishna consciousness in the spirit, it's nice to associate with devotees, it's nice to hear and chant about Krishna, then we'll get a certain experience from that. Or we'll get a certain experience by learning how to improve our relationship with the devotees and with all living entities. We'll get another higher level of experience. And if we take up devotional practices with seriousness and try to improve our chanting, our time management, and everything else, we'll get a higher experience. And if we dedicate our lives to increasing our service, taking up a service that inspires us to help improve this movement and the lives of the devotees within it, we'll get another even higher experience. And we take up the same burning mood of desire to spread Krishna consciousness as our acharyas and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we'll get the highest complete experience of Krishna consciousness. And if we don't, then we'll simply get a partial experience, and it may take a while before we understand or become acceptance and become desirous of getting the complete experience. In any case, one higher taste after another will inspire us to go progressively forward. So thank you, Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Before we build the faith, I just thinking about that when I listening to your lecture. We need to build a personal relationship with Srila Prabhupada. Because by some logic, I think when we listen to some philosophy, we need to understand and we need to meet person and accept directly person who talk that philosophy to us. I just meditate about that to build a personal relationship with Srila Prabhupada, and at least Srila Prabhupada give us more experience in spiritual life. I don't know, am I right?
Well, we certainly need a personal relationship with Srila Prabhupada. But Srila Prabhupada is right here. He's in the temple. He's watching everything we're doing. He's accepting our offering. He's there, so. And he's there in his words, in his book. As Krishna is there in his book, as Krishna is there in the deity form. So Vani is there, and Vani means that Krishna is there, Srila Prabhupada is there. The question is where we are. If we follow the instruction, we hear the Vani, we accept that actually Krishna is talking personally to me, that Srila Prabhupada is personally talking to me, then we'll have a personal relationship with him, especially if we try to understand what he says and follow it to the best of our ability. Become his servant, then Krishna Prabhupada will reveal himself to us. Krishna will reveal himself to us. We're spiritual. Our actual experience right now is material. But we could also, because we're spiritual, we could also have a spiritual experience if we want. We just have to accept there's such a thing as spiritual experience, and that comes by accepting spiritual knowledge, spiritual instructions, trying to understand them, and try to apply them in our lives. And then we'll get a spiritual experience, a spiritual association with these persons who are giving it to us.
Maharaj, what is your personal realization on how to become truly tolerant?
Truly tolerant? I have no experience of that. I have no realization whatsoever. A little bit more tolerant. Meditate. The more, I remember one time I had this wart on my foot. Personal experience. It was a wart, so I went to the podiatrist because I couldn't get it off any other way. And it was in my kidney point on my foot, the worst possible place, one of the worst possible places for a wart. So Finally, when I got to the Padaya, she cut it out the first time, which was, got it on a needle, which was like this big, to anesthetize my foot. And he stuck it in, and I had no experience like that. And I thought about Prabhupada, because there was no other shelter. And I was actually, I got a little taste for the needle, because it forced me to meditate on Prabhupada very deeply. Because the pain, it was either that or the pain. So I chose Prabhupada, luckily. Now, in a few weeks later, the wart came back. So I had to go back to the podiatrist. He took out another needle, stuck it in my foot, but I was prepared. And I was very intimately connected with Prabhupada at that moment. And this was the second time. It happened three times. So I got used to thinking about Prabhupada when there was some distress. That's my closest I've come to tolerance. In other words, the more we become absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then the more we can understand what real tolerance is. Otherwise, we're just grinning so everyone thinks we're tolerant. And we're cursing the needle. Anything else? Kuala Grandaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.